Tonight we're picking up with lunch, Hebrew Club, working through 1 Samuel 13 today. And Dr. Seleska said we got to verse 9 the last time, so why don't we start with verse 9 and just review that. The situation is they have made some initial attacks against the Philistines. King Saul and his son Jonathan have, with some initial success, but it's only caused the Philistines to come out in full force with thousands of chariots and horsemen, and they are in a pretty tough spot, so they call for all Israel to respond and to join them there, and they still are outnumbered and in a pretty desperate situation. In the midst of that desperate situation, they're waiting for Samuel the prophet to come so that they can inquire of the Lord whether or not they should go up to battle and seek the Lord's blessing in the battle. And he's not showing up. And so Saul is wondering what to do. So here in verse 9 it says, Vayomer Shaul HaGishu Eli HaOla VaHashlamim VaYaal HaOla. And Saul said, bring to me, or bring near to me, that's the Hithil imperative of Nagash. Hithil imperatives have that ha prefix. The nun has assimilated. So Nagash is to come near, in the Hithil to bring near. Bring near to me the Ola, the whole burnt offering, and the Shalamim, the peace offerings. You can see the root of shalom there in peace offerings. Vayal ha'olah. And he offered up the burnt offering. See all the words there that are based on Allah, the verbal root to ascend. Allah in the call is to ascend, but in the hithil it's cause to ascend or bring up, to bring something up. It can also mean to offer up. Oftentimes offerings that are burnt are spoken of as being offered up to Yahweh, because, of course, the offering, the Olah, ascends to God as a whole burnt offering. By Ya'al, the Vav consecutive there of Allah, you can't tell for sure whether it's a hithil or a call. You just have to know from context. Your clue of the Patak there under the performative yod, which normally tells you hithil, is also present in first gutturals in the call. So that could either be call or hithil, but it doesn't really make sense to say. I guess you could say, and the whole burnt offering went up, but then I think you'd need a feminine verb. So it's best just to take it as a hithil, and Saul is the subject. And he offered the whole burnt offering. Any questions on verse 9? I guess that's ground you've already covered, and it's pretty simple. Going on to verse 10. Vayhi kakaloto laha'olot ha'ola v'hine shimuel ba vayetze sha'ul likrato lebarako. This is begins with a temporal clause construction here. This is your standard construction for a past tense temporal clause. Begins with vayhi and then a preposition plus an infinitive construct. So, and it happened, or and it came to pass, when he finished. This is the infinitive construct of kala. These third hey infinitive constructs get ot endings. So that's why you have kalot there. And the O on the end is an object suffix, third masculine singular object suffix. And it happened in his finishing, literally, or when he had finished. Le ha'alot. What kind of a form is le ha'alot there?
Hithil infinitive.
Yeah, good. The hithil infinitive. The lamed is always a good clue that you may have an infinitive construct. The hey prefix tells you it's a hithil, and the ot ending tells you it was a third hey. Again, the third hey going to ot in the infinitive construct. So we have here a temporal infinitive, kakaloto, followed by a simple infinitive construct with a lamed on the front, laha'alot, and really, it's, I guess you'd say it's functioning here as a complementary infinitive to the verb to finish. So, and it happened when he had finished offering up. So you take that infinitive really as a noun there. What had he finished? He had finished the act of offering up. The hifil of Allah. Offering up what? Direct object without the definite direct object marker there. Ha'olah, the burnt offering. Vahine. And now here's the main clause after the subordinate temporal clause. And it happened when he'd finished offering up the burnt offering that Hine, behold, Samuel came. So bad timing, right? He was waiting for Samuel and finally he just offers up the offering and sure enough, right when he finishes, here's Samuel on the scene. Another infinitive, another consecutive imperfect then. Vayetse Shaul, and Saul went out. Just a call imperfect of Yatsa. You lose the yod, but you get a sere under the performative. And Saul went out. Likrato, probably infinitive construct of purpose here. So we're getting the whole gamut of types of infinitive constructs here in this one verse. He went out in order to kara him. You have the O suffix there. And in order to barak him. Kara normally means to call out. It also can mean to happen or to encounter. So it has sometimes the sense of to meet. So he went out to encounter him or to meet him. This is probably the second meaning of kara, the second root kara. In order to barak him, in order to bless him. And bless is a way of that they would use, that we would probably say to greet. He went out to greet him, to bless him. Went out to meet him in order to bless him. Any questions on verse 10? All right, verse 11. Continues the main storyline here with Bob consecutive imperfect. Vayomer Shemuel me asita. Vayomer Shaul ki ra'iti ki nafat ha'am me alai. Va'ata lo bata lemoed ha'yamim. U felishtim ne esafim mikmash. Right? And Samuel said, me is the interrogative what? What asita? Have you done? A call perfect of asa. Second masculine singular there with that ta ending. What have you done? And the atnak is there already. So the break in sense and the pause is there. Samuel said, what have you done? Vayomer Shaul, Saul responds here. And Saul said, ki ra'iti ki nafat ha'am me'alai. Because I saw from ra'ah, ra'iti there, the third hey, before a consonant suffix turns into a yod in these third hey verbs. Because I saw, and then after a verb of perception, or a verb of speaking, you'll oftentimes have ki as indirect discourse, or as the object of what's being perceived or said. So translated that. Because I saw that, nafats ha'am, the people nafatsed. The nafats means to scatter or to disperse. May alai, that's min plus all, plus first common singular ending, from upon me, or just from me. People were scattering from me, he's saying, as the king. V'ata, but you, here a disjunctive vav, translate it but, probably, but you, lo vata, but you had not come. So the people were scattering, you, Samuel, hadn't come. L'moed hayamim. This is a temporal lamed. And the temporal lamed can function in a couple of different ways. L'moed here is at the appointed time. Lamed as a temporal preposition can function as kind of an approach preposition, up to or until, but more often it's more like a locative preposition, but not in space, rather in time. It can also be a locative in space, but in its temporal sense, it oftentimes means at, so at a particular time. Or in other translations, with other words, maybe in, like la boker, in the morning. Here, la moed, at the appointed time. Hayamim, so at the appointed time of the days, at the appointed, at the day that was appointed, in other words. In other words, he's rebuking Saul, in a sense, you didn't show up when you were supposed to, when we were counting on you. Another disjunctive vav, another change of subject here, Ufilishtim, and the Philistines, Ne'esafim. This is a nifal participle. You see that im ending that you normally think of as a noun ending. That's your clue that you have a participle here. You have a nun performative on asaf, which tells you that it's nifal. The nifal of asaf. Asaf means to gather or to collect. In the nifal, it means to be gathered or be collected, or probably just the intransitive gather, as in gather yourselves. And the Philistines were gathering Michmash, just a place name here. When you have a place just standing there with no preposition, it's functioning as an adverbial accusative of place, and so you have to supply some preposition, at Gilgal. And the Philistines were gathering at Gilgal. Now, if you go all the way back in this verse to the first key, which is the last word of the first line of verse 11 here in VHS, that's a good example of the way that some of the different meanings of key really shade into each other. Do you want to translate this as because, or as if, or as when? And here, because and when kind of shade in together. When this was the situation, that I saw that the people were scattering and that you hadn't shown up and that the Philistines were gathering themselves, and he's going to go on and say, I took matters into my own hands. He's either saying, when this happened, I did this, or he's saying, because this happened, I did this. And really they mean about the same thing in this kind of a construction, because or when, with that initial key. Any other questions on verse 11? All right, verse 12. We have another vav consecutive imperfect with a double duty aleph there in that first form. You see that? It's O-Amar, but the two alephs have overlapped one another and you just get Omar. So it's the first common singular imperfect. The aleph there is both the imperfect prefix and the first consonant of the root amar. Va'omar ata yerdu pelishtim elai hagilgal upene Yahweh lo kiliti va'ef afak va'ale ha'ola. Verse 12 begins then with, and I said, now, and yerdu here is the verb with the subject Philistines, which follows. So, and I said, now the Philistines will descend. This is the yerdu is the call imperfect of yarad. The yod is lost in those forms, and you get a tsere under the performative. So, and I said, now the Philistines will descend Eli to me, Ha-Gilgal. Again, we have an adverbial accusative of place here. You have to supply some preposition usually, at Gilgal. The Philistines will descend upon me or to me at Gilgal. U-Fane Yahweh, but the face of Yahweh. Notice again the disjunctive vav there and panim in the construct, plural construct. The face of Yahweh, lo kiliti. Kala is an interesting verb. In the call, it means to become weak or ill. To become weak or ill or tired. And in the PL, it has the sense of to flatter or to appease. To flatter or to appease. Holiday has, in quotes, the idiom, to put God in a gentle mood. So it's, you know, the PL oftentimes with these stative calls, like to be weak or to be tired, the PL makes them factative. So if the call is to be tired, the PL is to make tired or to make weak. So the sense is to use these sacrifices, apparently, to, at least that's the etymology of the word, to make God weak, to appease him or to flatter him. So Saul had a problem here, is what he's telling Samuel. He saw all these bad situations arising, and he said, now the Philistines are going to come upon me at Gilgal, and I haven't appeased the face of Yahweh. In other words, he hasn't offered the necessary sacrifices or inquired of the Lord. And the last phrase there in verse 12, the Hithpael there, and this root afak only occurs in the Hithpael, and it means to pull oneself together or to risk something. So the sense is here that he took it upon himself, or he emboldened himself, and, except for it's in the first person, and I took it upon myself, and I offered up. Here we have the imperfect first common singular of Allah, and I offered up the Olah, the sacrifice. These last two Vav consecutive imperfects are good examples of the Vav consecutive not only as sequential, this thing, and then this thing, and then this thing, but also sometimes consequential in context. So these last two things are not only reported by Saul here as the next things that happen, but actually flow out of the previous things that he's described. You could you could translate the end there verse 12 as, and I said, now the Philistines will descend upon me at Gilgal, but I have not appeased the face of Yahweh. So I gathered myself together, I emboldened myself, and I offered the sacrifice, the consequence of his earlier speech to himself and his observations. Any questions on verse 12? All right, verse 13. Vayomer Shemuel El Shaul Nis Kalta. This is not what you want to hear the prophet say to you, this one word beginning here before the Atnak. And Samuel said to Saul, Nis Kalta. You have acted foolishly. This is the Nifal perfect of Sakal, second masculine singular. You have Sakaled in the Nifal, which means to act foolishly. Now he's going to unpack that accusation. What's he mean by that? Lo Shemarta et Mitzvat Yahweh Eloheka Asher Tzivak Ki Ata Hekin Yahweh et Mam Laktaka El Yisrael Adolam. You've acted foolishly in that Lo Shemarta. You did not keep, or you have not kept, direct object, et Mitzvat Yahweh, the commandment of, notice the at, feminine construct ending there, on Mitzvat, the command, you have not kept the commandment of Yahweh Eloheka, your God, Asher Tzivak, which he commanded you. Take a look at that form, Tzivak, there for just a second. Notice that it's from the root Sava, third he, verb, in the PL. So it has an initial hirek and a dagesh in its middle consonant. That's not a shurik there. It's a doubled vav. You're probably used to seeing that with the root Sava. But then also notice the object suffix on the end. It's Tzivak. He commanded you. But instead of Tzivaka that we would expect, it's Tzivak. Anybody know why you have a feminine, second person feminine ending on that form rather than a masculine ending, which you would expect for its reference to Saul.
The pauses, huh?
Yeah, you see the, what's the name of the accent above it there? Not a revia, but whatever it is. The little colon above the word is a significant disjunctive accent. It's significant enough to actually cause it to take a pausal form. And one of the signs, or one of the things that you'll see in pausal forms when you have a word with a second person suffix, singular suffix above an ought not, or at the very last word of the verse, or even under some of these heavier disjunctive accents, is what is a masculine suffix will actually look like a feminine object suffix. It's not a mistake, it's just the way the Masoretes point it in their system under those disjunctive accents. So you have not kept the commandment of Yahweh your God which He commanded you because Atah now Yahweh has established. Hakim is to be established or to be firm in the Nifal. In the Hifil here, this is a Hifil perfect of this hollow root kun. The Hifil is to establish. So for now Yahweh has established et mamlak takah, direct object, your kingdom, el Yisrael ad olam. The final prepositional phrase is pretty common and easy, until forever. But el Yisrael is an interesting prepositional phrase after established your kingdom. How would you want to render that? To Israel? Or at Israel? In Israel? Probably a good possibility here is what Arnold and Choi call the estimative use of El, which is usually translated as for or against, and it's a little bit like the dative of advantage or disadvantage. And so here in the context of the previous discussion of Israel's request for a king, Samuel and Yahweh's condescension to their request, they're going to provide a king for Israel. That's probably the sense of the L here, that for now Yahweh has established your kingdom for Israel until forever. And we'll come back to that phrase. Let's just sneak into verse 14 here for a second. Va'ata mamlak taka, but now your kingdom, lo takum, will not stand. Why is it takum? Why is it feminine?
Kingdom.
Okay, because mam laka is feminine. But now your kingdom will not stand, Atnak. Now, it's just said, because now Yahweh has established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not stand. And most of the translations for Hakim, the Hifil perfect, in verse 13, they make it sort of a subjunctive. They say, why have you done this, he's been saying. And he says, you've acted foolishly, you haven't kept to the command which Yahweh commanded you. For now Yahweh would have established your kingdom forever. This will be a great question for you to ask Dr. Selesko when he comes back next week. You can just put a little asterisk by that and say, how in the world do you get a kind of a subjunctive sense out of a perfect form? Maybe he'll have a good explanation for you there. I don't. So let's finish up verse 14 here then. But now your kingdom is not going to endure, he pronounces against Saul. And he continues, Bikesh Yahweh, we have verb subject here. Yahweh has, what's Bakash mean in the PL?
Seek?
Yeah, to seek. Yahweh has sought, lo, this isn't the negator, but for him, for himself. Yahweh has sought for himself, ish kilvavo, a man according to his heart. Okay, David, a man after Yahweh's own heart, right? God has sought for himself a man according to his own heart, consonant with his own heart. Vayetzavehu, Yahweh, and Yahweh has commanded, this is the Vav consecutive imperfect, again from Sava, but with an Ehu ending. So a third masculine singular suffix. And Yahweh has commanded him, Ehu, le-nagid, for a prince. This is an idiom in Hebrew. If you command something, someone for something, you are appointing them to that. So for Yahweh has appointed him as prince, al amo, over his people, Yahweh's people, ki lo shamarta et asher zivaka Yahweh, because you did not keep, direct object, or et asher, that which Yahweh commanded you. And here we have zivaka not in posel form. You can see the way that it should have looked above, because you did not observe what Yahweh commanded you. Any questions on 14? All right, let's stop there, and we'll pick up the pieces with verse 15 next week.